say AD 33. Okay, well, we know that the destruction came in AD 70, but that judgment on Israel didn't just come in one day, and it took time for that judgment to transpire. I mean, Israel was scattered. They went into the mountains. They starved to death. God's judgment, it was prolonged. And so what got me thinking along these lines was when the Lord began to, or I'll say it was the Lord, I began to change my thoughts on the early and latter rain. Let me say something to you about the early and latter rain. And to me, there's a revelation in this that I'm sure, I mean, I had never heard it, so I don't think it's common knowledge. If you just take natural Israel's agricultural year, they had two calendars. Israel went by two calendars. They had an agricultural calendar, a civil calendar, right, and that their agricultural year went by, and then they had a spiritual or religious calendar, a feast that God gave them that started on the 14th day of Abib, wasn't it? Or the fifth? Was it the first day of Abib? The day of Passover. Yeah, it was the first day of Abib, which translates to us would be sometime in March or April, generally late March or April, and it would depend on the calendary month of Israel. Israel had, they had 30 days in every month and 360 days in every year, but finally, when there had to be an adjustment to that, because that's why we've got a 365-day calendar, and that's as close as man could get it. Then they had to make the adjustment for leap year to make it come out right with the lunars and the world, you know, turning. Brother Stewart, I don't see him in here right now, but he's probably working. But, you know, I heard him telling, who was that? Ethan, when we was on the trip to the Dominican Republic, you know, he was telling Ethan how he could put a, he said, he told him how to make his own calendar. And he said, just put you a stake in the ground and every day go out there and look where the shadow of that stake goes out. The sun's shining on it and there'll be a shadow out there. And where the end of that shadow is, drive you a stake in the ground. And every day go out there and drive a stake in the end of the shadow. And it'll move every day. And if you do that every day, you'll wind up with 365 stakes in the ground, or, you know, that, you know, that you'll make a perfect, it won't be a circle, it'll be more like a football shape, more elliptical shape. And, or he told him, he said, you could just put one a week and you'd know that would, you know, that was a week. And then, and you could go out there and look. You could know if you knew, you know, you could put the day on one of them, or the month and the day on one, you'd know what day and month it was. You wouldn't have to look at a calendar. You could look at your own calendar. Well, anyway, Israel, they had 360 days a year in their calendar, but the way God had them adjust it was every year at the time of Passover, if the barley harvest wasn't ready to harvest on the first day of Abib, then they added another month. In other words, they went ahead and added, because that's when the barley harvest started, and then 50 days later the wheat harvest started, and that's how they started their harvest. Well, and then this, when I was studying about Israel and the timetable and their calendars and all that, times of year, I found out that their early rains, what they called the early rain, started in the fall of the year, which is just the opposite of what we call our early rains. And to me, that turned a light on for me, that their early rain started in the end of the year, after all of their year's harvest started. Then they plowed up the fields. I mean, after their harvest was already, they harvested all their crops for the whole year, and now down in the end of September, they're through harvesting, and they plow their fields up and plant them in barley and wheat again. And then the early rains come, which is the fall rains. And then that wheat and barley doesn't grow or nothing happens. It will grow. Any of you that's raised on a farm knows wheat, barley, rye, all of that will grow in the wintertime on the warm days. But it never will come to harvest. By the way, this is a sign of nature to me that proves you cannot reach perfection during the dark ages. Because down through the dark ages, I mean, Paul, I'm going to give you a thought along this line. Paul, the harvest of the early church took place, and in the end of that harvest, Paul was planting, he was planting the seed of the gospel in the Gentile world. And there's no way that it came to fruition. It would grow, the church grow, people were saved, people heard the gospel, at least parts of it, they responded to it, but nobody could reach perfection or come to because the sun was too far away from the earth. Jesus, until we get close enough to Him, really that's a better way of saying it, until the earth gets close enough to the sun, until we get closer to God, the fruit of the Spirit's not going to work in your life. And so their rains begin to fall in the fall upon their wheat and barley. But it was all through the winter until spring started, when the latter rains began to fall, is when the earth got close enough to the sun in those latter rains, and there was enough heat in the earth that would bring those fruits, or the wheat and barley, to a full harvest. And that started, the latter rains started the harvest period for the whole year of Israel. In other words, they had first, they had their barley harvest, then they had their wheat harvest, then they had their figs in the summertime, their figs and their grapes, and then later their nuts and their raisins. And then they had two harvests of the grapes. You could get two different harvests out of the grapes every year, and so they had a harvest time from the beginning of the barley harvest through the whole year. In September, they had a Feast of Tabernacles, which was a time of rejoicing and thanking God for the harvest of that year. When I began to just get that natural knowledge, I began to realize that Israel had an early and latter rain in the early church. They started out with the latter rain. Jesus told his disciples, "You're going to reap where you didn't sow." There had been something sowed. Christ sowed something down of the gospel. The prophets had something sowed down. Jesus was a prophet. John the Baptist sowed, but they reaped when the latter rains of that seed of that prophetical ministry that God planted in the earth for Israel came and brought a harvest. And at the end of the harvest, part of the bride was made up, which is typified in the Feast of Tabernacles. And then the Apostle Paul planted in the latter rain, he planted for us down here, and our harvest time will start in a restored church down here. When we get close enough to God, the early rains have already failed. The latter rain's going to fall, but it didn't fall. The early church, in the way I'm explaining it to you, was not the early rain. The early church had their own early and latter rain. The early rain back there for the Gentiles was Paul's planting. The latter rain down here is for us to have a harvest. And, of course, when we finish our harvest, then there'll be a latter rain down here for the new earth to be planted. It's a harvest time for God. See, if you're thinking that, here's the way I thought of all the times it's taught to me, I always thought, you know, the early rain being the New Testament church and the latter rain being down here. Of course, I never had anybody explain to me why we, you know, I just was thinking that was before us, so that was early. This is latter. When you understand the terms of the early and latter rain and what they meant and the time frames, that's just opposite of the way we think for our early and latter rain for agricultural purposes. It you got to get your thinking adjusted to understand the Bible's language on it. So I'm just saying that I'm not taking away from anything. If you look at the overall picture, there was an early rain back there that was for the Gentiles, and the latter rain will be down here. That's the overall picture. But we've got to have, what I'm telling you is, we've got to have our early and latter rain. And by the way, while I'm on this, let me give you a scripture in James. I can just see myself teaching this to the general brotherhood. Well, you need to ask questions then, because it's just clear as a bell to me. Okay, let me read this before you ask it. In James, the 5th chapter, it says, be patient, the 7th verse. James is telling, he's talking to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. And he says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Their coming of the Lord, back there. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is nigh. To me, with this understanding, James is telling the Jews back there, God's been patient for this harvest period of the Jews for the early and latter rain back there. Because look at his context. He said, for the coming of the Lord is nigh. God's coming in this harvest. He's been patient for this early and latter rain. And if you look at their agriculture harvest with an understanding of their harvest times the way they would, you wouldn't dare think he was talking about 2,000 years later for latter rain. That's not what James was saying. He was just saying, God has been patient. And you be patient, because the Lord is almost finished this work and the harvest time's about over. The early and latter rain harvest for the Jews is just about over, and the Lord is coming in judgment to finish this work and make up His bride.
Okay. If you don't mind, back up and explain again the harvest seasons for the Jewish nation agriculturally. And then, if I'm getting it correct myself, mm-hmm. you're stating that the early rain was the planting that was done all the way through the Old Testament by the prophets. Am I right or wrong?
Well, I'm saying that the early rain for the Jewish period, yes, but I'm saying basically Jesus, he brought the finality of that. Jesus in his ministry there wasn't a harvest in his ministry.
Correct.
And he brought the planting but he got it from the old covenant teachings, the law and the prophets, and he brought it into reality. His earth was close enough to God to finally begin to bring some germination to the seed that had been planted. So, you know, I'm not trying to really go all the way back and say, well, it's their early reign started, you know, with Moses or the prophets, although those seeds that were planted never came to a harvest. So, you know, I think you could include that, but I'm saying their latter reign really started on the day of Pentecost. That was the latter rain of their planting, and that was the beginning of their harvest period. The old covenant teachings and the prophets. That would have been there earlier. What I'm trying to get you to see is the harvest has a harvest time that starts in April for them. And went all the way through September. And in the end of September, they had finished every harvest. All of their wheat, barley, corn, grapes. Well, it goes on all season. I've got a Jewish calendar here in my Bible. Let me read it. Let me read some of it to you.
Well, it's just like right now. We've got farmers planting wheat.
Well, see, we've been having harvest all year.
Yeah, but right now they're planting wheat to harvest right. Next April.
And what I'm telling you is the early rains for Israel started in September. And that's just absolute fact. That's history. You can just... Huh?
Leviticus 24.
Somebody go ahead and look at it. Oh, well, it's not in my Bible.
Exodus.
Mine's in Exodus.
Exodus 12.
Yeah. Are you saying the page that it's on in your Bible? That in Republic, we had a year where I recommended a Bible and everybody bought a Bible, and then I didn't use it. But, well, it was the closest thing I could, you know, at the time I had bought mine, that Bible wasn't made. But when they came out with that Bible, I recommended it because it wasn't near as expensive as this Bible. So, you know, it don't matter what Bible you use if it's King James Version. On my Jewish calendar shows in the month of Abib that the latter rains started, which was the barley harvest and the flax harvest. And what is Exodus? Let me just look at something here. We're getting way out here in deep water, ain't we? But really, I mean, I do want you to understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm after.
Abib and I know you all probably know this, but in Exodus 12 and 2, that's where God instilled the Passover with Moses, and it says, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And that was the month of Abib. And that started that was their religious new year, and that started the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and First Fruits, and then, of course, 50 days later, the Feast of Pentecost, and that was the Feast of Weeks, and that was the latter rains brought about that harvest in Jewish history. Okay, then, uh, And if you remember, there was a latter Passover 30 days later if you couldn't make the first one. And that was still the barley harvest, you know, took place over a 30-day period of time. Your wheat harvest started at Pentecost, I said. Then your grapes start in June and July was when their grape harvest was. And then their principal fruits, grapes, figs, and olives, was in July and August. That's when they harvested them. The dates and the summer figs were harvested in August, in the first part of September. And then the plowing of the fields and the replanting in September. And then the early rains fell on that planting. That was their, they plowed their fields. Wait a minute, let me back up on that. They plowed their fields and the early rains fell. Then it was like October and November when they actually planted wheat and barley. You always plant it later in your cool months. But the rains fell on their plowing and got the ground wet, and the earth had moisture in it, and then they planted in November and December, or late October up till probably the first part of December, their barley and wheat. Then winter started in December. In September was the Day of Atonement. That was your Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Trumpets. then your their rainy months over there was during the winter months. They had some rainy season, but the earth still couldn't bring a harvest. That's another point that I think is really good for if you're looking down through is the winter. You know, it's Songs of Solomon, isn't it? The sixth chapter where Solomon said the voice of the turtle, talking about the turtle dove, is heard in the land, and the winter is past, and the bridegroom cometh. See, he's not coming during the winter. There's no harvest for him to come for. But he'll come and bring a harvest in the world and gather. He'll gather his fruit out of the harvest. That's just a picture and a type of God making up his bride in these two worlds. Anyway,
we're using the statement latter and early rain.
Mm-hmm.
The latter rain was in the springtime, according to the Jewish.
Yes, right.
Why did they use that term like that? I mean, we've had it backwards all these years.
Well, because they used it, it does make sense in that their early rains was for planting. That's when their civil calendar started in September. The civil calendar started in September, not in Abib.
Okay.
So it started in September, so that's the first of the civil year.
There you go.
And the rains came, and they began to plow the fields, and the rains came, and the new year had started, and that's why it was the early rain. It was the beginning of their year. And so then down in the spring, their latter rains, that was their latter rains for that year. And then it went into summer when we didn't have all that rain in the summertime, but that latter rain brought the harvest because it was the warm time of the year, and the earth is close enough to the sun to bring that harvest about.
So you're saying that there was an early and latter rain back there.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying Israel had an early and latter rain to bring about their harvest.
All right.
I did present this in Portland, Oregon a few years ago, and nobody questioned me on it. Of course, I know they never heard it before. But I presented the calendar and put it out, and of course I just sat down. They all just kind of had their mouth hung open.
So there'd be an early and latter rain down here.
Or I say they all. There's some of those men knew that. Some men told me, said that's right on that calendar. But I don't think anybody had heard us use the early and latter rain that way. I'm sorry, now what did you just say?
There will be a early and latter rain down here too.
Yes.
When was the early rain?
The early rain will come in the restored church down here.
And the latter rain will be
when we have a restored, when our church is restored, we'll start produce the fruit, the harvest is going to begin. And so that'll be our latter rain. Now, what did you say, when the early rain?
Yeah, that's
the early rain won't come until the end of our harvest period, and that'll be for the new earth. Our early rain, if you want to look at the big picture for the Gentiles, it started in Paul's planting. Just like their early rain started among the prophets, you know, the law and the prophets, but it didn't come to fruition until the day of Pentecost started their harvest. And when it did, that's what Jesus told his disciples, said, "You're going to reap where you didn't sow." See, they didn't plant that. It had already been planted in Israel, but it never was a time that God was able to get them close enough to the sun. That's why Malachi said, this is good to preach and stuff. Malachi said, the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness will come with healing in his wings. The Son's finally going to get close enough to the earth to bring fruition. Remember, I mean, there's a lot of scripture in the old prophets where they, you know, they couldn't bring forth. They were barren. They were sowing, but they weren't barren. It's like the woman. She never was able to bear a child. It's the other picture. Brother York?
Where does the first fruit come in? Because it says, but in 1 Corinthians 15 and 20, it says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Could the first fruits of all this harvest be called maybe the overcomers or what? Because every harvest always had a first fruits, and if my memory serves me right, some of that was presented to the tabernacle of that first part of that harvest, wasn't it? I remember, where would that come in? Or does it have no meaning? Whatever.
No, it has meaning. Jesus was the first fruits of them that slept. Paul also called those that were reaching perfection early, he's saying they were the first fruits, or even the Jews was the first fruits of the harvest of God that brought fruit unto perfection. But Jesus being the first fruits on the day of Jesus was our Passover, and the barley harvest was the very first fruits, and Jesus was the first fruit that came to maturity. Always, if you plant a field of barley or plant a field of wheat and you go out and start looking out there in about May for wheat, you go out there and start walking around in that field and start looking at that wheat, there'll be some of that wheat start making little heads of grain way out ahead of the rest of it. It'll be where it got most of the sun. It'll be where there was good moisture. Brother Weininger.
The first fruits means when Jesus resurrected. But we can add that in Matthew 27:52, there were some more of those people resurrected right after him. But
right.
He was the first.
He was the first of the first fruits. Right. Jesus, he resurrected unto life or immortality. And he was the first fruits of that, which is what the scripture he's using in 1 Corinthians there, was he was the first one to overcome and put on immortality. And he was the first one that came to perfection, or harvest in his life. His life brought forth fruit unto perfection. And that would have to be in the beginning of the harvest year that there was a first fruit in Christ. you know, he was one born out of season. In other words, he did, there's something took place in his life that wasn't taking place in anybody else's life.
But aren't you,
you know, until,
aren't you still saying that those that resurrected in Matthew 27:52, as it says in Hebrews 11, that they without us could not reach perfection? So they did come up, and a little later they reached perfection, didn't they?
Yes.
Because they got the Holy
Spirit. Yeah, no, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So they are all part of the first fruits, but Jesus was the first of the first.
He was the first of the first fruits, but yes, that's right. And everyone that reached perfection back there was the first fruits unto perfection, you know, of the work of God among the Jews and Gentiles. Yeah, primarily Jews. All right, well, we didn't get very far, but we got further than maybe I'm thinking. Yeah, well, it's yeah, I do too, because this, I do realize this is a new kind of a new thought. It really doesn't take anything away at all from our overall vision. It's just adding more information and more detail to it. All right, I'll see you upstairs.